Okay. Questions?
When I meditate, sometimes panic comes up in me, or sometimes I have an abusive background from my childhood. I'll spasm, and do I just like try to stay? You know, I'm confused by what I should do when that happens.
Oh gosh. I just got a letter from someone who shakes when she meditates, and she was telling me something that had helped, and I can't remember what it is. But the essence of it was that she had gotten the knack of staying with a sort of sense of maitri or warmth towards herself and the situation. And she realized that when she panicked, when she freaked out, then it escalated, just like the itch situation, you know, the literal physical itch. Because it's uncomfortable, the physical symptom escalates. That doesn't come easily, you know. You can't just say to yourself, relax, and then it happens. But the view of this meditation isn't that thoughts are really a problem. It's just the fact that they hook us, and that basically that we believe in them so strongly. You know, it's like you talking to yourself, this internal dialogue, that you completely buy the storyline. That's really the problem, not the fact that there's thoughts, but it's this identity with them. So something that begins to help us relax is when there begins to be some realization of the emptiness of thoughts, or the transparency of thoughts, or the fact that thoughts are just noise, you know, and not really identifying with them, not believing in them so strongly. The practice is usually that you would stay with the breath and let the whole thing be happening with the breath as something that kept you in the presence with it. And then sometimes you are not at the place yet where you cannot struggle with it or whatever. Then it's good to just take a break and maybe try walking meditation. Some alternate thing where you're still practicing being present, but it's not building up this kind of tension.
The practice would be then, instead of going into the panicky, I would try to stay with my breath or let it just happen?
The main instruction is to stay with the breath. Like the two things are happening simultaneously, but there's something that's keeping you present, and the mind isn't going off down different roads of terrible scenarios, you know. I want to give you an example of learning to stay. I had the privilege about 5 years ago or so of being very close to a woman who had had a lot of abuse in her childhood, a lot of trauma, and it had resulted in many dysfunctional things, including involuntary dissociation all the time. And also including not being able to feel almost anything in her body and a lot of other things. So she started having, after years of really working with therapy and also beginning to find the great benefit in meditation, many positive things were happening, but also something that in fact was positive but pretty hard to handle was she began having involuntary flashbacks, reliving exactly what had happened, and many people have this happen to them. And it's pretty terrible. But both from the point of view of therapy and from the point of view of meditation, if you can find a situation where there's a lot of support for you, the best thing to do is to go through the memories wide awake, and then you can be free of them. And it's not always a one-shot deal. Sometimes you have to do it more than once. But when they're no longer repressed, then all the symptoms can be freed. And so she had been given this instruction by her therapist. And so I had the role, along with two other people, that she would come to one of us when the involuntary thing started happening, just before it sort of peaked. And then our job was to actually hold her with our face right up close to hers, looking in her eyes and keep her present, which she wanted to do. She had complete willingness. It was completely voluntary. And then I found when I was doing it was I was saying, stay, 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 and she would stay, and she'd go through it, and each time she went through it, the horror of it got less and less and less, and all the symptoms and things were also getting better. She said from that she realized that the most powerful thing in the world, whether it was healing from abuse or finding the doorway to enlightenment, that it was the same place. It had to do with learning to stay. There's no easy answers here, but let's just say the willingness to learn to stay is the key, and loving kindness towards the whole situation. Self-compassion and compassion for others in the same boat.
Thank you.
This woman over here.
It's very easy when you're talking about alcohol and excess and things like that. But how much do you refrain when you like cookies or brownies or coffee before you become, you are torturing yourself mm-hmm. and giving up too much in life?
The dieter's question. I only say you refrain if it becomes a problem in your life. In other words, it's bad for your health, you know, because you're weighing too much or because you have candida or something like this, you know. Do you see what I'm saying? So we don't have to get into a struggle. And if it's not a problem and you dislike these things, why not, you know? But if every time you do them you get sick or something like that, then you have to really think about it.
Can I just make a comment? It's just that you strengthen the habit. First you may think, oh, maybe I can have a brownie once a week, and then maybe once every 3 days, and then how about once a day? And that feeds into what you're talking about
yeah.
how discretion creates more discretion.
That's right. So I don't want to get into right-wrong thinking, because that's Shenpa-based right there, about brownies, no brownies, you know, discipline, no discipline, right-wrong. This is rampant. We're just like so all habituated to think in terms of right and wrong, and it is not helpful. But then to give yourself a bad time about the fact that you right and wrong everything, that's more Shenpa. So you have to really deal with these brownies from the point of view of, let's just say you're dying and you can't have brownies anymore. Is that going to ruin your ability to let go into the death process and just let the whole thing dissolve? Do you see the difference? So as long as it's invested with, it will give me ground, it will give me ground, this sort of slight desperate quality, then the more we can shed these desperate associations with comfort that we place onto outer things or even onto our thought processes, and the freer we are. And this is called the pathway to enlightenment.
Thank you.